Scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 21st chapter, beginning with verse 10. And when Jesus had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have perfected praise'?" Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he lodged there. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Some of you may have heard me tell the story before that many years ago in the 1980s, there was a pastor up at a church in Minneapolis, a Lutheran church, Lutheran pastor, and his wife worked at a local bank. And he and his wife, through the course of time, over about 4 years, embezzled about $250,000 from the loose offerings that were brought in at the church. And he would bring them to her on Monday, and she would put them into a special side account that only they knew about. And when this finally came to light, it wasn't discovered by any of the members of the church. It was discovered, rather, by the FBI from someone inside of the bank. And he was brought up on charges. And I was serving a church nearby, and a number of the members from that church came over to our church. And we tried to talk them to go back now that this was all coming to light, but they just couldn't handle it. They just did not want anything to do with the fact that this had been taking place at their church. And when you're in a place of a spiritual setting, and something like stealing from people is taking place, there's just something about that that really bothers people deep down inside. We see that a little bit reflected in our text here today, too. The temple was a place that it was a prime place for ripping people off, for stealing from people and taking advantage of them. Because when people are going about things about their spiritual life and things that deal with the deepest, most emotional parts of them, they can easily become an easy mark for things like this. And at the temple, especially in the week of the Passover, you would have people from all around the world that would come and gather at the temple. And there had to be money exchange made. People would bring in currency from other countries, and those would charge a little bit more just to do that exchange, and then they might make the exchange rate a little bit higher and so on. There was a temple tax that had to be charged. It was usually about a 2 days' wage that you had to pay every year. It was mandatory for any men over 20, and it helped to operate the temple grounds and so on. They also had to purchase animals or birds that would be used in the sacrifices. And so it was very ripe for jacking up the prices on people and kind of ripping them off. And oftentimes things that have to do with the most important stuff in our lives and at moments like that is where we can be the most susceptible to being burned. Weddings and funerals are places where people often feel maybe they're being gouged a little bit here and there. But using an outward show of religion as an opportunity to make financial gain off of people is there's something about that sin that just bugs us deeper to the core of us sometimes than other things. And it certainly brings out the indignation of our Heavenly Father and certainly of His Son, our Lord Jesus, as He goes now into the temple. And it exposes something about all of us, too, that there's a greed inside of all of us. We're told Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple. Picture that, driving them out, kicking them out, okay? Overturned the tables and the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. Now, this isn't, you don't see people with pictures of Jesus with a whip in his hand in their house. We see more of him as the good shepherd and or the crucified one or the risen one. But you don't see people put, this isn't a typical picture in our minds that we have of our Lord Jesus, driving people out of the temple. And yet it is his just and holy wrath against this evil that is causing him to respond this way. And God is very zealous about how he is to be worshipped and how we are to approach him as well. He looks for a sincerity in our hearts. St. Paul said to the Galatians, "Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked." And that's a good reminder for all of us. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. It's interesting and noteworthy here that in this cleansing of the temple by Jesus, that he doesn't go and do this same type of thing in Herod's palace or in Pilate's praetorium where he's going to be on trial later that week. He doesn't go into to these places to do this, but he does this in the house of God because that place has to do with the things of God and the kingdom of the right, in other words, the spiritual kingdom of our relationship to God where mankind knows and worships God through faith. This is what he cares about and what his focus is upon. The kingdom of the earth, earthly kingdoms, the kingdom of the left, we sometimes call that, that's ruled by governments and kings and rulers like Pilate and so on. This is not the target of Jesus' indignation. He grants that the unbelieving governor, Pilate, who's going to later put him on trial this week, has authority over his own trial. And he doesn't try to impede that trial at all, and likewise with Herod. But he just simply asks Pilate to acknowledge that the authority that he has, even in that earthly realm, has been granted to him by God. Now, we also have the beautiful praise of the little children of Jesus who are observing and hearing all of this, and probably were some of them at least present for the Palm Sunday entrance. In the middle of this, we see this precious little statement about the praise coming from the mouths of little children. And they've observed his miracles that are being done here in the temple. They refer to him as the Son of David, a beautiful tie to the messianic prophecies about the coming Savior, the Messiah who was supposed to come. Hosanna to the Son of David. And this continues to be the cry of the church militant in this world. Those of us who are still fighting the fight of faith on our way to our eternal home in heaven. Johannes Ilvesacker, a theologian, said this, that despite the indignation of those who object to the children singing, despite their indignation, Jesus must be paid the honor that is due. That's a great line. Jesus must be paid the honor that is due. And so Jesus defends these little children. He defends their praises of him so beautifully. There's something special, I think you're old enough now to realize it too as college students, there's something special about hearing and seeing little children singing the praises of Christ. Just saw it in my local church over the weekend. And there's just something different, it touches us in kind of a different way when we see that taking place in the hearts and minds of little children. I remember years ago an elderly pastor told me there was an old saying in the church, you win the hearts of your adult members through their children. You win the hearts of your adult members through their children. We recognize what a precious thing that little childlike faith can be and to then hear it singing praises to Christ. So this temple cleansing that takes place and the miracles that Jesus does and now the praise coming out of the lips of these children, all of these things are now going to kind of combine with other issues going on in the political world at the time and in the society around them to ultimately bring Christ to the cross at the end of this week. People are often puzzled between the crowd on Palm Sunday that's singing praises to Christ and then Good Friday calling for his crucifixion. Was it different people? Had something changed? Was there new information that had caused this change in them? We aren't really told. But in the political and social realm of the Jewish culture of that day, there are many earthly reasons that ultimately drive Christ to the cross. I'll just read a few of them. We're told that the recent resurrection of Lazarus that Jesus had performed, bringing him back to life from the dead, his growing popularity, the Palm Sunday crowd, I'm sure intimidated the religious rulers. His run-ins at the temple grounds that are going to happen later in the week with the Pharisees and Sadducees, when he pronounces woe to them for their false teachings. The cleansing of the temple and his prophecies about the ultimate destruction that would be coming upon Jerusalem and the temple. All of these things that are kind of combining now that will ultimately churn up this crowd to direct him toward the cross. But of course, in the spiritual, eternal, and divine realm of things, we know there that God the Father is the one in control of all of this and directing all of this. It is his doing that through all of this, even evil that's taking place, he ultimately will put his son now on the path toward going to the cross. He takes the very greed and the sinfulness and the churning inside of the hearts of people to carry out his will. He is never the one that creates the evil. He is never the author of evil. And yet he will at times take it and utilize it even for the best purposes of his greater kingdom. Just think of all the evil agents that God uses in order to bring his son to pay for your sins. You've got Judas. You've got the crowd. You've got the chief priests, the scribes, Pilate, the soldiers. All of this was ultimately pushing our Lord to be taken to the cross. And in the same way that evil demons were directed and channeled by Jesus into the herd of swine, even so the evil that dominates the hearts of wicked people in our Lord's life can be now directed and channeled by God to the ultimate perfect plan of paying for your sins, to have peace made between you and a holy God, even through these evil activities that drive our Savior to the cross. So during this Holy Week, God invites you to view everything that's happening to his Son. He invites you to view all of that from heaven's perspective. And we so frequently hear throughout the readings during this week, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. So that the scripture might be fulfilled. So that God's plan of paying for all of your sins and declaring you to be holy, so that you by faith in the Savior could come to heaven someday, that's what it's all finally about. Thanks be to him. Amen.